sends me full. Oh, you're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you all are well today on this wonderful Tuesday, the 9th of June. We just started the month, but already we're trundling through the rest of it, I tell you. And so I'm glad to be here with my wonderful co-hosts, and I'm going to introduce them now, and then we'll jump on the topic of the day. Keith Masters, always good to see you, bro.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's only because of him, otherwise I'd probably be dead.
Amen.
Which would make it hard to do a live program.
Yes, it would.
The grace of God.
Truly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Wow.
Hey, so you got any shout-outs today?
I'm a little tied up over here.
Oh, okay. All right. He's working. All right. He's doing his research.
Good morning, everybody.
And down at the end of the table there, Lance Winkler. Brother, good to see you.
It's good to see you, David. It's good morning.
It is a good morning, and we've got a going to take a nice big bite out of something here in a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do anything else until I go to Ann Limhoko and welcome you as well.
Good morning. It's good to be back. I think I've been gone for 2 weeks, as I said yesterday.
That's right.
You have been. So you've been doing the Lord's work, though. So
yeah.
In
so
great part.
I always miss it when I'm not here.
Oh, well,
we
miss it when you're not here, too.
Thank you.
And we miss you, Ann.
Yes.
Thank you.
And uncounted tears on the part of our listeners when they're not here to contribute. Too. Probably. I'm just guessing. I think it's a good guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we welcome you to A Biblical Response today. And as we always do, we're going to take a look at something in the news and look at that and then kind of dig a little deep and bring in some scripture and some hopefully godly commentary. What's in the news in the last few days has been the California voting laws and the policies that come out of those laws. We're going to be kind of providing an overview of those rules. We're not going to go too deep because there's a lot of other things we want to talk about. We're going to kind of educate you, as we've been educated, about what do the California voting laws look like in that three-ring circus that, if you've ever checked on them, you will see that's not a bad descriptive three-ring circus. California is considered, and look at all the states in the union as far as their voting laws, and especially where the laws pertain to the final verification of votes, the end point at which no more votes will be counted. California is considered an extended window state where state law gives county officials 30 days to finish the vote count. Now, California is not alone. There's three other states, New York, Illinois, and Ohio, that also have extended windows. Either there's 30 or 31 days given to the counties to finish the vote count, to certify all the votes. California also encourages the use of mail-in ballots. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. So the extended window and the mail-in ballots create a tremendous ground for fraud, and this is what we need to be concerned about. And so we're going to be doing that. We're going to be looking also at some cases of voter fraud in other states. We'll also be talking about the Beleaguered Save Act, which still has yet to be approved to hit the floor for a vote. I think it's in the Senate right now for that. So that's still, we should be concerned about that, by the way, that it hasn't yet made it onto the floor for a vote. I want to tell you, and I was going to remind our listeners, why are we even doing this program? For a year and a half, God has given us this mission to do this program, to look at issues in the news from the biblical perspective. Well, our goal is to edify you. To make you aware of matters in our nation which call forth prayer from God's people. And ultimately, you know, it's us going to God, and He calls us to be prayerful. Mm-hmm. He puts in our hearts the things, the concerns, that are going on around us that, that part of what we're doing then is kind of filtering. Yeah, we're filtering some of the concerns and giving them to you so that we can invite you to pray. And out of that prayer, though, is God will call his people to take action. What that will be between you and God. Yes. We are taking action here today by being on the program, having done the research and the prayer, and presenting to you the things out of God's heart, really, that he's guided us to do today. And we'll do more than that after the program, because we're all believers, and we vote, and we speak into our culture the Word of God. So as with every other issue, we're concerned about loose voting laws, and whenever there's laxity, fraud gets in. It just naturally does that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the laxity, which is intentional, is a sign of evil afoot. Don't be nonplussed, because only a handful of states have such egregious practices. We're talking again about California, New York, Illinois, and Ohio, where the very looser laws are concerned. And don't say, well, it's happening there. Why should I be concerned? Because you're not there, right? The point is, evil is infectious. Is there enough evidence that that's true, that we're not talking to you, we're talking to you about the infection? Fortunately, you don't have to wear a mask for this issue. Yeah. But you do have to wear on your heart the desire to serve the Lord and move past where you are now, which is basically, well, it's not affecting me. It's not in my backyard, so why should I do anything?
Right.
And, of course, God wants us to say, it's coming to your backyard. So prayer, the active work of God's people, we can see evil banished and the important legal structures of our nation restored. And so that's why we're doing what we do. Now, with this in mind, I'm going to move to Lance, who's going to look a little deeper into the California voting.
Yeah, I did. I had the boring job of looking at
I don't think it was boring for me, Lance. Yeah. I think that you love it.
I love it.
I love it. And I love it, too. Look, so does Keith.
Voter regulations, though. And if you look at the Secretary of State's website out in California, it all looks fairly innocuous, you know. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly lax, like you mentioned, but there's nothing that you can put your finger on and say, well, this one thing would cause fraud in that situation. But as those things mount up, those provisions mount up, you will assuredly have fraud.
Yeah.
So I just went through a few of them here, and just start with one. A mail-in ballot is issued to every registered voter in California. So that's a provision that they have. Whether you ask for it or not, in most states you have to request the mail-in ballot. And it's pretty restrictive in a lot of states. But there, it's just mailed to you. It's just given to you to use. And along with that, so you look at that and you say, well, okay, this is a provision. I can see why they may do it. California's a big state. They've consolidated some of their voting places, so it's farther to drive in that. But here's the second thing they don't do. They don't clean up their voter rolls. Mm-hmm. They're notorious about people having died, moved, committed felonies, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They all receive these ballots so that they're just floating around out there. It can be used in any way they want. An interesting thing is poll workers have now been told they must not ask for a voter ID when a person comes in. Elon Musk mentioned, he said, well, it's against the law to show your ID in California to vote. That's not true. That's not true. However, the anecdotal stories now of a guy that goes in, pulls out his ID, and the poll worker says, I can't look at that, and will turn away because he's told he must not. So they must not act.
It's funny, but it's true, right?
It's true.
So sad.
And it is kind of sad. But it is, you say, okay, well, they don't have to have a voter ID. But it lends itself to, it's a laxness that lends itself to possible fraud. Mm-hmm. So is there any form of verification? Yes. There's verification for the mail-in ballots, and their voting takes place and 3% by mail-in ballots in California.
See, that's a big number, 83%.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
So when a ballot envelope comes in, it has a signature, supposed to have a place for a signature. Mm-hmm. That signature is matched up against the signature used when that person registered to vote. So when they registered to vote, it may have been 10 years ago, it may have been a few months ago, they also have... There's lots of provisions I'm not going to mention here that that are could be way too long, but they've got same-day voting. You can go in, register, and vote.
Yep.
But when that ballot envelope arrives with the ballot in it, it has a signature, and it's compared to a signature that was on the ID when that person registered to vote. However, it's verified by a machine, not a person. And the machine has different settings of percentages of acceptance. The machines in California are generally set to under average at 40%. And I've heard people comment on it. They said that's you can have a person's name could be Bob Willis, you know, on his ID, but on the envelope itself, it could say fried chicken. And yeah. When you're dealing with a signature and you've only got 40% verification, then that so much stuff just goes through.
And you said that 40%, Lance. Maybe, I don't know. That's just so low.
it's you know what? To my ears, I think, well, 40%, that may not. But when, as the person explained it, you know, when you're dealing with signatures and scribbles, then 40% is just an incredibly low bar.
Mm-hmm.
So these procedures then dovetail with other legal provisions that have passed since Newsom came to power. And here's some of these provisions. The expansion of the IDs for a first-time voter that the voter can use to register to vote. Now, it used to be that you went in to register to vote, you had to have a driver's license or a state-issued ID. Now they say you can have a gym membership card. Mm-hmm. So if you got a gym membership card, you can register to vote. An employer ID card, a credit or debit card. A prescription drug label that something came to, or an insurance card. Now, the insurance card is interesting because California provides free health care to illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they get that insurance card, they can use that as a way to register to vote. So every time they issue an insurance card, it's like a okay to register to vote.
But to get an insurance card, you can be undocumented to get health care.
Exactly.
So there you go. There's the cycle.
That is.
Yeah.
So you look at it, and you, I mean, as I backed up, I thought, well, here's Newsom wanting to get health care to everybody in his state. Okay, seems like somewhat of a noble idea, but I don't think in Newsom's mind it's a noble idea. It's a, hey, every time we issue one of these cards, that's a okay to register to vote.
Yeah.
And that's how these provisions can work together under their camouflaging fraud.
Mm-hmm.
When they give, this is in lieu of, so these cards are in lieu of a Social Security number. If you don't have a Social Security number or a driver's license, you can use that gym membership card to register. And ballots can be harvested in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are restrictions on ballot harvesting in other states where another person can take your mail-in ballot and drop it off at the, but ballot harvesting can be done any way. Mm-hmm. One example that was given was door to door. So a person goes out and they've hired people to go out and do some polling door to door. The person goes up to the first door and says, hey, we're trying to get a handle on the election that's upcoming. Can you tell me, would you tell me who you'd like to vote for? Oh, Spencer Pratt. Oh, great. Thank you very much. I'll write that down. They go to the next door. They say, could you tell me who you're wanting to vote for? Yes, Rahman. Well, have you submitted that ballot yet? Well, no, but it's over here on the table. Well, fill it out, and I'll just take that in for you. So ballot harvesting can happen in any way in the state. Then there's a provision that they've just made for those who cannot sign their name. Now, this was an interesting new provision. So, I mean, I understand it. It has a sense of compassion with it. Paraplegic, a quadriplegic, can't sign their name, so we're going to accept an X or a stamp or a dash. But if you look at some of the examples that they've accepted, you know, one of them that I saw was the smiley face in the voter signature place. And now it has to be witnessed, so there has to be a signature of the witness or witness of that signing or that mark that's made, but there's no verification of the witness. And the one that I saw with the smiley face, the witness's signature was just, you know, five squiggles.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and here's another thing. The state then refuses to release the data on how many ballots are submitted this way.
Yeah.
So they will not tell you how many are just a mark and a squiggle in the witness.
Mm-hmm.
It is illegal to cheat, but almost every form of cheating is camouflaged behind a legal provision.
Right.
Yeah, right. So what they're doing now, everything you just described, Lance, is accurate and legal.
That's legal.
It's accurate and legal. So they're following the laws that they themselves have written so they can get away with this.
So you
it's
may,
garbage.
Right. So you may see somebody bringing in 100 ballots mm-hmm. and saying, hey, what are you doing with those 100 ballots? Well, I'm harvesting ballots. Well, it's completely legal to do.
Yeah.
So even though you're watching the fraud taking place in front of your eyes, there's no way to get them. On top of this, Newsom just 2 or 3 days ago signed a law not allowing tranches of votes to be confiscated by the federal government. The federal government cannot come in and get, you know, bunches.
When did he sign that law? Right before the election?
Yeah, just right before. He said, you know, we're in such danger.
He's protecting
now with Trump and the federal government coming in. So what he basically did was California is blocking a federal audit of its voter rolls and its voter procedure.
Mm-hmm.
He's blocking.
I mean, I hope that our listeners who have not known this information is listening. And we'll have people call in hopefully later. We'll open up the phone lines.
Invite them, yeah.
I wonder if this is just chilling them to the bone that what's happening in the United States of America is legal activity, but it's actually fraud. And that's why we had Spencer Pratt, who was, second in the polls, right?
Yeah.
Second?
Yeah.
Now is third.
By how many votes?
By 3,000 votes.
No, originally.
It was 40,000 votes he was up.
Yeah, originally. By a lot.
Which was 7% higher. So I think Rahman had 20% of the vote he had.
On the night after the election.
37. Let me mention this. This is another thing I looked into. So how do we know that any fraud has gone on? I've mentioned all of these things here, but since they're legal, they're not looked into. So how do we know that it went on? If you don't mind, indulge me just one more second here. The biggest red flag is the gaining of votes by Rahman, the Democratic candidate, over and against her other Democratic candidate, Karen Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you compare the votes between Rahman and her Republican candidate, you don't get too much information. Well, she just beat him, you know. And it just got a lot of votes after the election and the ballot. But if you compare her to Bass, another Democrat, you can see that something happened that's inorganic. It's not organic. There's no way that it could have been done. So before the election and on the election day, Bass is getting 2 votes for every 1 vote that Rahman was getting. So the one Democratic candidate's getting 2 votes for every 1 vote that the other Democratic candidates. After the election, for every vote that Bass is now getting, Rahman is now getting 1.4 votes. So she was getting half the votes. Now she's getting a half more vote than her Democratic. So they said, well, you know, Democrats in California, they vote late. They vote late and they vote by mail-in ballot.
And not 1 vote for Pratt.
Well, no, no.
No,
there
no,
were
no,
some.
No,
he would get votes. He got some votes, but his percentage of votes compared to the other two was going down. So was Bass's. She was getting so many less votes than Rahman after the election that her count also of percentage of voters was going down, and Rahman's was skyrocketing.
I think that, Keith, you were talking about late last week there was a dump of votes, and in that dump there were no votes for Pratt.
Right.
Okay, so that was a mistake. And then they did it again. And the next batch to come in only seconds later were all votes only for Pratt. So I think that's what you were talking about when you said none
well,
for
I
Pratt.
Well, I had heard that I didn't look that up, but that was just something that I overheard.
Yeah.
But with the amount of increase for Rahman, it just seemed unusual for all the votes that she got.
And she even conceded.
Pratt did not get
more than unusual.
More than unusual.
It wasn't a possibility. I mean, she's conceding on election
day. Yes, and she's crying
real tears.
Yes, because she knows she lost.
Yeah.
And she only got in the race to get votes away from Pratt. So that was her ingenuine reason for getting in the race.
For getting there.
Disingenuous.
Well,
sorry.
It's accomplished.
But here's the other thing. See, this is what I don't understand. Because if you get 50% of the vote, there will be no vote in November.
That's right.
So if the two Democrats aren't running against each other, Bass might have gotten over
50%,
so that she would have been held in office continuing without a vote at all.
Right.
So it surprises me
So that she got in the race.
That she stayed in the race. Mm. Because there's something behind that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
she's staying in the race for a certain purpose.
Yeah.
That we do not know what it is.
Well, I this comment when Newsom was talking, the mm-hmm. governor of California, I'm sorry, I don't explain it. Newsom was talking about we're going to have to cut off the federal government from looking at our voter rolls.
Yep.
He also mentioned, he said, look, if things really get tight and it looks like the Republican has a chance, and I mean, mm-hmm. he is saying this right out, Google it, go to YouTube, look it up. Mm-hmm. He says, we have some break glass in case of emergency mm-hmm. procedures that we can do. Mm-hmm. Now, was the votes coming in for Rahman after the election day part of the break glass emergency that he's talking about? Because everybody assumes that the Democrats are going to vote late yeah. and are going to vote by ballot. Mm-hmm. But it's not just, it's only the Rahmans. It was only Rahman's mm. votes that came in. Bass was a Democrat.
Okay, so that could be the reason why she's there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's to get rid of Spencer completely.
Yeah. And then it's two of them who are going to be in the runoff. So whatever, you know what
Doesn't
I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be a Democrat yeah. that's going to win.
No,
we're going
to. I want to take that away because I don't want to put that into the universe. And one of the reasons yeah. why we're talking about this is because as a church, we're calling the body to pray
yes.
because this is so blatantly in our eyes, those sitting here, and hopefully for those who are listening, obvious that it's fraud and it's pure evil what's happening in California.
So, Psalm 94:20, I want to quote this because
yeah.
it speaks into when elected leaders or any leader that has those kind of access to lawmaking and such mm-hmm. makes laws that are corrupt. And so this Psalm 94:20, can a corrupt throne be allied with you? You as God, by the way. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you? A throne that brings on misery by its decrees? And you know, frankly, let's think about this. Yeah, someone is still thinking, well, that's California and I'm in Florida. Why should I be concerned about that? If that's what you're thinking, listen, we have to pray for the whole country because what happens, the infection of evil.
Right.
And I've got family in California, and I'm concerned for how
I do too.
The evil that's afoot there impacts on them. And it's not good. It's negative. But the fact that that evil that's afoot in California, it's not just there, by the way. There's other states, obviously, where things of this nature are happening. But we have to pray for the whole nation. We are impacted by this.
Yes.
Whether you think you are or not.
Oh, no, definitely are.
You know, we are impacted by this.
It's affecting the entire nation.
It is.
The result of this vote in California affects the entire nation.
Yes.
What happens?
I'm sorry, but it emboldens them even more to get away with
exactly.
what they're doing, exactly what they're doing right now, to just continue on mm-hmm. with their schemes and their yeah. plots.
Well, as Christians, when you say, how does this affect Florida? That's not even the question. But when, as a Christian, you see evil so blatant, we as Christians should rise up this righteous indignation because the enemy is trying to do something in our country. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I live in California, if I don't even have family, if I do, it's evil. And we as Christians need to fight in the spirit, you know, mm-hmm. and it also makes me mad because the those who did not vote who are Christians apparently, allegedly, was low.
Yeah.
So there's still bad doctrine out there that church does not get involved in government. Where people are just sitting back waiting for the rapture.
But the outcome, yeah. The outcome of this election tells those Christians that were out there, see, what would it matter? What would mm-hmm. it matter if you'd voted? And that's the problem. The problem is what happens in California doesn't just stay in
yep.
California.
No, it doesn't.
It filters across the rest
even,
of the world.
Even if in the simplest sense that people in other states get an idea of how they can create
exactly.
legal fraud.
Yeah.
By passing laws that allow for that.
Testing yeah. ground.
So, yeah. Lance, you were speaking about they created a law so that the federal government can't come in and investigate.
Their agents, yep.
Their agents can't come in and investigate the ballots.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how they enforce that.
How did they?
I mean, I looked at that and I said, well, how are you doing that? Because I think constitutionally The federal government
will trump the state,
but over state law, over state elections, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, so that's something we need to look
at. Here's what John 3:19-20 says.
All right.
People prefer darkness over light because their deeds are evil, fearing that their actions will be exposed. And that's exactly what's going on right now.
That's
right.
Governor Newsom creating laws for their actions to not be exposed.
Right.
And for their evilness to not be exposed.
But but those who have eyes to see and ears to hear are discerning and can see what's happening. I mean, those here. And that's why we're bringing it to light, because not everybody may be following as much as we do, you know, the news. But we need to discern as Christians and get on our knees. And there is hope, because the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free, according to Proverbs 11:21.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah, this is so bad. The votes,
so bad.
The votes so that came bad. In.
I know.
It's so bad.
We're all just so.
You have to be willfully blind. You're going to have to willfully be ignorant if you're not, and say, look, I don't care about what's going on out there, or take a look at the actual graphs of the gaining of percentage of vote by Rahman against Bass. Just go out and take a look at it and say, oh, yeah, that looks normal. And just to use your mind at all, you have to shut down your mind, not to realize.
Like, you can't be critically thinking. I don't even know how that works. How you can just look and just turn a blind eye, or be like, oh, I don't think that's true, because it's so blatantly obvious.
Yeah,
you know, God, was it Romans 1 here? It's so blatantly obvious in creation that He's God, but there's like a wool over their eyes, but they've decided to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't it's you a agree? Decision.
It's a decision to be.
And it is Romans 1, and it's a perfect, perfect scripture for what's going on right now, because they're closing their eyes to the truth.
Now, it's a version of the NIMBY attitude, right? NIMBY is an acronym for not in my backyard.
I was like, what is NIMBY?
Yeah, well, Gumby. If it's not in my backyard, why should I be concerned about it?
Right.
And the answer is because it's coming to your backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't stop it, but God can. And I think this is where the people of God, and this is who are, again, I said in the beginning of the program, for those who are believers, this is a wake-up call. If you haven't already got your heads turned in that direction, listen, God is calling His people to be aware, to be prayerful.
Yes, wake up.
The time of hiding is gone.
Yes. Yeah.
We have no permission from our Father to not pay attention to the evil that's going on in our culture. And to at least pray about it, at the very least.
The Father has given us the responsibility within this nation to act, to pray, to do this. We're always supposed to pray for those in authority over.
Everyone.
But He actually gave authority to citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We have not just the obligation. We are obligated.
That's
we're obligated to do.
Luke 10:19. And it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm just in my spirit. I'm like the snake and Satan wants to be like, no, I got California. But in my spirit, I'm saying, no, California belongs to God. And those who have family out there, especially get a hold of them, because the church I know is rising up and is continuing to rise up in California. They think they pulled it over us, but no, God is victorious because we have the authority, as you just read in that verse.
Amen. And that list should include politicians too, but they didn't write it up that way.
Listen, it even goes to Ephesians 6:10. I put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Right? When you go into battle, put on the whole entire armor of God.
He has equipped us.
He has equipped us.
But it's a battle.
It is a battle. We're kind of at break time, and so what I want to recommend, we're going to take a little break. Listener, you may or may not want to call, but if you do want to call, you can call 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. After the break, we'll be taking calls if you would love. We encourage some people to call. You may have a comment. You may have a question, you know, and that's part of what we do on the air. We will not debate. And I got to say this, because we want you to state your case as succinctly as you can. We want you to get your voice out there, and then we'll move on. But you have an opportunity to do that. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio. News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And we're back. Yes, we're back for the next half hour or so of A Biblical Response. And I want to shift, I want to go over to Keith a little bit. Keith had some commentary looking at some issues of fraud in other places.
Yeah, and where it's gone on, I think, since the beginning of the vote, not only here, but also, you know, from England and
everywhere.
Everywhere. Right? Yeah. And here's the other thing. We are not just attacking the Democratic side here, because it happens on both sides.
Yes, it does.
But the thing of it is that it doesn't happen. Well, I can't say that. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to
stay
away.
I think the spirit checked you. It's okay, Keith.
I'm not going to say that. But here's where we have identical situations. And one of those situations for what's going on in California now, one of those situations happened in, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Hamtramck, Michigan.
Huh. Close. Very
Hamtramck, Michigan. Okay. So there's a guy.
Wait, David, did you just say close?
Mispronounced
it wrong?
I think it's good enough.
So what's the proper way?
Ham sandwich, Michigan.
He just goes close and he doesn't say what the proper
way is. I think it's the way I'd pronounce it. I'm not sure. You
know, okay,
it's
go ahead.
I was a German.
That was just funny.
There's all consonants at the end of it. So
that's
there's
okay.
No vowels in the middle.
Say Michigan.
So, yeah. So for as egregious as it was in California, this is the same under the same scenario. We had a gentleman by the name of Muhammad Hassan and Murtaza Saeed, okay? Mm-hmm. One guy's 57, the other guy's 26. And it's a Muslim community and a Muslim immigrant community, and they were arrested for voter fraud in the city council elections. And these two were both city council members. Mm. Now, for the election, they came in the primaries. One of them came in fourth, and the other one came in fifth. For the vote, one of them came in first, and the other one came in third.
Nothing going on here.
But it's
we,
not.
We got identical twins going on here
in
Michigan and in California. And what it was is they were arrested. They got caught. They were arrested for false statements on absentee mail-in ballots. So they were making false statements on those ballots. Mm. They were arrested for forgery on the absentee ballots, signing signatures.
Their campaigns, you mean? Like
no, for the ballot. They were signing people's names.
So the actual candidates. Oh, my goodness.
The candidates were actually signing. Right, the voters' names and signing them in mail-in ballots. And then
it's part of helping the people, right?
Right. You don't have to do that. I'll take care of it for you.
I'll vote for you. What would you like
to do? I'll vote for you. Right. You're going to vote for me, by the way. So unqualified. And here's another thing they got arrested for. Unqualified elector attempting to vote. And what that means is that he was not a citizen and he was voting as an elector. As an elector.
Yeah.
So that was one of the situations that was identical to what's going on in California right now.
Can I comment on that right there real quick?
Absolutely.
Each thing that you just mentioned there, if the person was in California, they would have had provisions to not go against the legalities of that state. In other words, if they were forging somebody else's signature in California, they just put a mark and put squiggles in the witness, and they would have been able to submit that ballot.
Right.
So
okay.
Those guys wished they had been in California,
right.
Because California had the laws that would have protected them. They could have done whatever they wanted to do.
Good point.
Well, the next best thing, instead of wishing you in California, is wishing you had laws from like California in that state.
And they'll try to do that.
Yeah. That's what we're saying.
It's a cancer.
It is a cancer. Yep.
Now, another situation that I came across was where a judge, a mayor, and 13 Democrats were arrested in a massive mail-in voter fraud scandal. Hmm. And this was in a small town, because this is how bad it gets, okay? This is in a small town of 18,000, population of 18,000, and it's in Frio County, Texas.
Huh.
And 70, really? Yeah, Frio County, Texas, 18,000 population. And this is what
Texas.
What power, I guess, you know, is the money grab here, where the power is the money grab.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So it's a swing county also in Texas, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. So the last two elections, they voted for Trump. In the 2016 election, they voted for Hillary.
Oh,
and yes. Yeah. So what was going on? They were, according to an affidavit, there was a person who was running for the county judge, and the county judge runs the entire county.
Mm.
So the election is for a county judge. And it was a person by the name of Mary Moore who was running the new candidate, and Rochelle Camacho, who was the current judge. Mm. So Hispanic against the black in an Hispanic community.
Okay.
So Mary Moore went to the Pine Hills Estates, which is a nursing home, and got Camacho, Rodriguez, Ramirez, and Castillo, and a woman who was not charged walking out of a resident's home. The records state that Moore saw Camacho walk up to Rodriguez and another woman's car, in what appeared to be carrier envelopes. So these people were harvesting ballots,
right.
Carrier envelopes, okay? And Camacho was vote harvesting, collecting those absentee ballots from voters in the Pine Hills Estates nursing home and in the election offices, sending them to the election offices and polling places in time for the election through second-party individuals. Mm-hmm. So that's how that was working. What happened was that a woman who brought up the who came to confess, she passed away. That's why she gave up the records here. Mm. This brings us to the woman named Cheryl Denise Castillo. She wasn't charged because she died. But she informed of the scam. So she brought the scam to light.
Mm.
They would pay her on a Cash App, but not on her own Cash App.
Oh,
they would pay her on her relative's Cash App. So this is the same thing that we were talking about in California.
Yeah.
It's okay to harvest the ballots.
Yeah.
But if you're getting paid for them, it's against the law. So she was getting paid to harvest these ballots, and that's what the So she was going into the election office of polling places after she advised them how to vote. Yeah, Rochelle Camacho was going into the polling places after she advised them how to vote or who to vote for. So that's happened
sad.
Over there. Now that was 15 people, total of 15 people. The judge. The judge, a county judge, the mayor, and 15 people who were harvesting votes all through town, not just in the in the old age home. So, in 2020 for the presidential vote,
we had
in Fulton County, Georgia.
Yeah, I was wondering when you're bringing that up.
Yeah,
yes.
But here's the thing: in 2020, Fulton County, Georgia, the elections board admitted to making a mistake in the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
315,000 votes cast during early voting were certified without the required signatures on tabulator tapes, which is what you brought up before, Lance, in California for those signatures to be on the tabulator tapes from the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
The tapes are printed from the ballot tabulator machines to verify that the number of voters is equal to the number of votes.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
You would think that's a common sense.
I'm not going to tell you who they voted for, right? 315,000 votes. But
yeah. And Trump was only looking for 11,000.
Yeah.
Go out there and find me 11,000 votes, right, which he knew were out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a rhetorical request.
And you know, the apology came way after,
after the fact.
315,000
after
votes.
The fact.
But there's no, you know, you got it. I love it when they say, oh, there was no voter fraud, in the state of Georgia.
A lot of people still insist that's true.
I know they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, the issue in Pennsylvania was exactly like that in Georgia. And it was found out. It was found out in time that maybe they could have done something about it. But, you know, you have to request a mail-in ballot in in Pennsylvania, not just like California.
Right.
So you request thing. They received 170,000 more mail-in ballots back
than had been requested.
In
Pennsylvania.
That was in 2020.
Come on.
170,000.
Yeah, you know, I could be right. It could have been 174,000. But it was enough to have swung that situation. So, you know,
we can clearly see that the issue is the mail-in ballot.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what state we're talking about. The issue is the mail-in ballot because it can't be accounted for.
Yeah.
And that is the issue here. And President Trump is trying to get rid of the mail-in ballots.
Well, let me switch to, thank you, Keith. That was wonderful, because that shows that this is happening all over the country and not just where we just talked about in the huge state of California. But I don't know if a lot of our listeners know that in March, our U.S. Supreme Court, so the highest authority of legal authority in the land, they heard oral arguments on a case called Watson versus the Republican National Committee. And that's a case that could reshape how states handle the small share of mail ballots that arrive after Election Day. Well, small share.
Small share.
I don't think that's right. It could be a lot bigger. I don't know where I got that wording. I apologize. But in Mississippi, under Mississippi law, ballots postmarked by Election Day are counted as long as they arrive within 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the case asks, this is the case, is that 5-day grace period constitutional? Okay, so that's the case in question that our U.S. Supreme Court justices have to rule on. That decision is going to be coming down at any day. Okay, it has to come down by the end of June. But Mississippi is one of 15 states, including the District of Columbia, that allows such a grace period, 5 days. But the RNC and its co-plaintiffs argue that a federal law enacted in 1845, which defined Election Day as the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, requires ballots to not just be cast but received by that date.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a huge ruling that could help our cause.
Right.
It's huge.
Right.
And a ruling for the RNC would effectively outlaw the whole late arriving ballots that we're seeing that
in
you
California.
Pointed out is a huge part. The ballot harvesting, we didn't have this. When I was growing up, we didn't have mail-in ballots.
No.
This came in what?
COVID.
During COVID?
Yes.
Right. Well, in the way that it is.
Yep.
They allowed mail-in ballots for soldiers.
Yeah, when I studied in Spain, I could do it. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I was able to do it when I studied in Spain. But now anybody can get a mail-in ballot.
Right. Well, it's the majority of voting in California.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to say that we need to pray for that decision that's going to come down at any moment. I just looked online. It still has not been released. And then in late March, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this, I just found this out, that our president signed an executive order directing our U.S. Postal Service, to create rules that, among other things, require states to mail ballots only in barcoded official election mail envelopes and to give the Postal Service voter-by-voter lists for anyone who will vote by mail in federal elections. So in other words, it will modernize the free-for-all ballot process and give voters a way to track their ballots online, just like they can track their, you know, anything that comes, like DoorDash or whatnot.
You know, I didn't mention this. Now that I am hearing you mention that, they have a voter tracker in place in California. So
the
individual can track
their
where
mail-in ballot.
That mail-in ballot is going as it goes through the system. But it has not stopped. So I don't know that tracking the ballot, a conscientious voter can track a ballot, but I don't know that having that barcode on there is going to stop the...
Going to do enough.
Mm-hmm. I will say one other thing that they did in California was they implemented this thing called text, cure by text. And so if there was a discrepancy, actually the machine that was saying, hey, your signature on your envelope of your ballot envelope is not the same as your signature before, or there wasn't a signature on your envelope ballot, or for whatever reason, they have to cure those. They give the voter a chance.
A cure means change the ballot. That's for those right. who are listening. So
they give the voter a chance to say, oh, that is mine. I forgot to put the signature on it. But they've done it now by text, so they can actually text the person.
Okay, that's just full
of... Yeah, that's not...
But oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying...
They're trying to do something good, but then they do it by text.
I don't know. I don't know that the barcode thing will actually stop fraud. I think it will help you track the ballot. Mm-hmm. Conscientious people will be able to track.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure in the long run.
I think that our president... And just trying to do anything they can. And they're relying on, obviously, this big Supreme Court decision, which is huge, by the way, if the RNC wins this case.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the level of being the highest court in the land. Or, you know, I don't want to say that's not going to win, but, you know, maybe this postal thing that President Trump signed for can help.
Yeah.
So I think they're just trying to do as much as they can.
Any ratcheting down on this on this thing is helpful. A step in the right direction. So.
And then we have the Save America Act,
yes,
which we've talked about many times on this program.
Yep.
It's to me, it's such a common sense, and it's a bipartisan bill, by the way. And that will require that you have a valid ID, okay, not a gym ID or insurance, a valid ID before registering to vote in a federal election. It requires proof of citizenship because our Constitution clearly states only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote, and no mail-in ballots except for the reasons that they were allowed before: illness, military, disability, or travel. So unfortunately, though, that this has passed in the House four separate times but has failed to pass the U.S. Senate. So
there's four Republicans holding back from that, which is Susan Collins from Maine.
Yeah,
Mitch McConnell from Kentucky,
Lisa
from Alaska, and Tom Tillis from North Carolina.
Yeah, so they joined Democrats. The
only one I can see that would Murkowski from Alaska, I can see that because it's hard to vote.
Yes, that's what she said in Alaska. Yeah.
I wouldn't get out at any time if I lived in Alaska. But to vote, maybe I would. But that is, I can see why she, but the rest of them, I do not understand their withholding, holding back on this SAVE Act. I mean, but when it's so bipartisan.
It's such an obvious bill we need. But what Keith is talking about is there was a vote in June of, we're in June right now, where the Senate failed to vote to pass this measure on June 4th. It failed by 48-50. Yeah. And we could have had it if the four Republicans joined the Republicans, but those four people that Keith talked about joined the Democrats, so it failed.
And they actually need 60 votes.
It fell short of the 60 votes. You're right, to overcome a filibuster.
What's wild are the Democrats that voted against it because 76% of their constituency want this to pass.
Yes, right.
It's an insanity. They are, D.C. is fighting against... the electorate out there. They're just fighting against it.
Makes me.
There was one point, I don't want to shift us too far off the track we're on, but earlier when we talked about California's new law that will not allow them to, or not allow the federal government to investigate, grab voter tranches of votes to investigate. And that's not going to pass constitutional muster in terms of federal elections. Just to make sure of that. Because the federal government can and will investigate potential or alleged fraud involving federal offices that are being sought in the states. States can't keep them from that.
Yeah.
But
I would like... Can I interject a pet peeve?
Why not?
This morning, and so I said, I won't mention this because it's not going to be, but I do want to mention this. In the 2020 election, where they continually, Democrats, liberals, say that 60 court cases, the Trump team brought 60 different court cases that were heard, that were adjudicated, that found out that there was no fraud in the 2020 election. They keep saying this. Has everybody heard this, the 60 court cases that were out there.
Didn't know it was that many.
That Trump lost.
Didn't know it was that many.
Here's the thing.
Talk about Fulton County.
Here's the deal. None of them were adjudicated. None of those cases were adjudicated.
They were dismissed before.
They were dismissed before on the basis of standing.
Okay.
And this is the problem with bringing a court case against any election.
Wow.
Is if you don't have standing, if someone has to be harmed, so you have some harm that's happened to you as a result of this, and so if you bring a court case before an election, you've got some stuff that's going on that you say is shady, which they brought some court cases ahead of time because of all the unconstitutional stuff that was being done to allow for mail-in ballots to come in ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They brought some court cases, but the court would say, well, who has been harmed?
There's no physical harm. That's
you can look at me. I've been harmed because that president who was supposed to be in, I'm harmed, you're harmed. I mean, what is the legal definition of harmed?
Well, here's the point. It's not just being physically harmed. It's not the individual being
emotionally
harmed. What it is if you do this before the vote is cast, they say, well, how do you know you're not going to win anyway? Mm-hmm. So if you don't really know if you're going to win or you're going to lose, you have no standing to go ahead and bring this case because you've not been harmed yet. If you've not been harmed yet,
that's ironic. Then,
yeah. It well, it's but here's the thing 22. Is you can bring it after, but the problem is you have to bring something that is incredibly obvious that the vote would have gone a different way.
So
what they say is, well, it would have actually made the election go a different way. And if you don't adjudicate it and bring all the evidence in, you don't really know if the court case would have gone a different way.
So it didn't even get a chance.
So they never heard those court. I think one case they adjudicated past a certain point, but they never did have a finding in it. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff where they said, well, 60 times he lost in court, it never went to court. The only court case that really had a chance was out of Texas, which by the state of Texas, a majority of the states came on with Texas to take that to the Supreme Court because they said, "Hey, our voters in Texas were harmed by these laws that were passed." The Supreme Court was set up to take cases like that from state to state. They were set to take cases. They did not take that case up. So that's a pet peeve of mine.
Another
well,
concern.
60 times he lost.
People critically think and research. Don't just look at the buzz lines or whatever it says on social media and just like that one line, 60 court cases. But they never even made it because of that bar.
Standing. Right.
Standing. So I think we need to pray. I think I'm going to punt it to Keith. Because I think Keith could give us a great prayer. I'm sorry, Keith.
It's a good time to prayer.
I think you're the person to pray about.
I am going to read Ecclesiastes 3:15 right now.
The different
Please
seasons?
Do.
Okay.
This is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15 and 3:16. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed.
Wow.
That is the
story. Right. It is because of that verse. We have this nation. Yes. Justice will be done. They may take away your inalienable right here, but it will be given and justice will be done according to that.
And the battle belongs to the Lord.
It does.
Always.
And in Proverbs 10:23, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding desires delights in wisdom.
Man,
delights in wisdom.
So good. The fool finds pleasure.
Pleasure in wicked schemes. And they hang out together.
They like it.
They like it. And that goes according to the darkness. And no matter, you know, and if you look at it right now, and if you look at Maine, you look at Maine, Graham Plattner is another example of what's going on for the evil and the wickedness that's going on. Mm-hmm. And what did they say? They say, and I think this came from, who's the Senate Majority Leader?
John Thune?
No, not him. The Democrat side, minority leader.
Oh, Hakeem Jeffries?
No, okay. Either him or
the Senate, though.
Schumer.
Schumer.
Chuck Schumer. Yes, yes.
Couldn't spit out his name. But he said we need to get him into the Senate at all costs. It doesn't matter about his character. It doesn't matter about anything. We needed to get him into the Senate for the power that they want.
That's it. What,
another obstructive vote.
Another obstructive vote, right.
Well, or a conviction vote on
without
an impeachment.
God, man.
Say, we're running out of
without
time.
God.
We still need that prayer.
Keith, come on, man. Bring it. Pray for California because that's not over.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Father God, for your wisdom and for your light that shines brightly through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God. And we just invite the listening audience, dear Lord, to seek the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, and with all their soul, Lord. We pray for righteousness to overtake the evil and the wickedness, Lord, that is so obvious that's going on in today's country, Lord, over in the state of California. We pray for conviction of heart. We pray for conviction of mind, Father God.
Yes.
We pray for exposure. We pray for pray for deliverance from the evil and the wickedness, Lord. We pray for the chains to break. We pray for the chains to break in the corruption that is going on. We pray for your justice, for your light to shine in this nation. We pray for protection for the president and his family, Father God.
Amen.
We pray for protection. We pray for protection for the administration, Father God, and for all the leaders of this nation. We pray, Father God, for your protection in the election cycle, in the midterms for this year, throughout the nation, Father God. We just pray at all times, in every state, dear Lord, for your righteousness to reign, for your justice to come, for your justice to reign, dear Lord. We pray and we ask all these things, Lord. We surrender them to you.
Yes, you're our only hope, Lord.
You are our hope. You are the light.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Can
Amen.
I just say,
Thank
Lord,
you,
that can you please make every wicked path straight, every crooked path straight, Lord Jesus. And we pray for a revival, but we also pray for reformation. Reformation in this country, Lord God, and that the church would rise up and walk in its authority.
Amen.
And walk in courage and always stand for truth. Lord, we pray for truth to prevail, that the lies, the deception will be all dismantled, that you would expose and bring light, the truth in this nation, in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, for the church to get out and speak up.
Yes.
To get out and speak up.
Courage.
To be
yes.
a voice for this nation, Lord,
courage,
for your righteousness. And right, in courage, in strength, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen, Amen again.
We have 1 minute and 10 seconds, so not a lot of time.
Lead us in a song, David. Would
you? Whoa! I used to be able to. I can't do that anymore. But I will. I will just say to our listener, thank you for listening.
Yes.
I would say, you know, hey, maybe share this program time and everything with other people.
Yeah.
Invite other listeners to come on. Maybe have a little party. Bring your neighborhood intern on the radio. 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning and listen to a biblical response. And then afterwards, do something. Pray together.
Amen.
You know? Anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to share real fast. We didn't go over any Republicans getting caught, but there was a town over in New York, which is a Democratic state. Six Republican city council members got arrested Forest Hills, Queens. They got arrested in Forest Hills, Queens. They got a city council member voted in. Yeah. And so it does happen on both sides.
It does. It's
it's not one-sided.
It's
but
not
it's
a
so,
monopoly on
it's
it.
It's
yeah.
so
yeah.
blatant over in California.
Absolutely.
What's going on.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Keith, for
you
that.
Bet.
And close us off. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.